Today on the Mommy Business Podcast, we are joined by April Ford Kelly, also known as Banker Bay.
Hey.
author, speaker, radio host, and financial guru. April is here and equipped to provide us with some beneficial insight in the area of entrepreneurship and finance.
God is my boss. Being a business owner is one thing, but when you add wife and mom to that, oh, that's a whole different ballgame. Welcome to the Mommy Business Podcast. We are here to discover how to win at this thing called life. It's time for you to design the life of your dreams, one building block at a time. This is Mommy Business with Leticia.
April, welcome to the Mommy Business Podcast. I'm so happy to have you here today. I'm so happy that you finally accepted my invitation. Thank you, girl.
Oh, you know I was going to do it eventually. You know, the funny part about that is everybody always asks me, have I done the Mommy Business Podcast? And I'm laughing because I'm like, we talked about it for months.
But forever.
Our schedules, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that I actually teach at the university. I teach, you know,
Wait. Don't give them too much information right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me shut up.
Since you already got started before me. Give us some details around your background in finance, how you got started, and what led you to use it as a platform outside of your 9-to-5 to help others.
Well, you know what's so funny about my background is that I wanted to sing in the choir when I was a kid, and I'm tone deaf. And so my My Aunt Cordella would not let me get into the choir. And so she came to my house. She was my grandfather, my great-grandfather who raised me, my great-grandmother who raised me. She was his sister. And she comes over one day and she says, and I just start singing. I was singing this In Vogue song and I thought I was just jamming, girl. I thought I was jamming. And she looks at my grandfather and she said, Jeff, tell that girl to quit singing in front of me. You know, she tone deaf. And it hurt my feelings. And so they tried to give me another job at the church that would allow me to do something. And so they told me to go count the money. It's so serious. I started making spreadsheets and everything. And so when I got to college, I really didn't know what to major in. I'm a little girl from the hood. I'm like, I don't know. I just need a good job. That was my thing. My granny told me to get a good job. And I said, well, I like to count the money at the church. And so somebody told me about accounting. I went to school for mathematics in high school. Like I went to, I was really good at math in school. And so they said, well, major in accounting or whatever. And I had tested really good. And I had worked in an accounting department in high school. We had a thing called BPA, Business Professionals of America. And I worked for Lockheed Martin in that accounting department. And so so it's kind of familiar. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. Cause I didn't really have, you know, I always thought I was going to be a rapper, Tisha. So, you know, this
not
is
a rapper. For me.
I thought I was going to be a rapper. And so I end up doing that and I went to school and then I would come home and like tell people like in the community, like they would ask me questions. And I got a job at Syntex Home Equity. I'll never forget this. And it was like $24,000 a year. And I thought, wow, the most money ever, right? I was like,
well, it is.
Girl, I was ready for a Lexus at that point. I was like, I'm buying a Lexus. I went home and told my brother, and my brother was an engineer over at Texas Instruments, and he was like, okay, like you're still not buying a Lexus. I'm like, that's $2,000 a month. I'm on it, you know. And I still remember, but I didn't know anything about taxes being taken out and stuff like that. But I ended up working at Syntex. And but I seen like my aunts and uncles and family members and friends start to struggle during the mortgage crisis. I had went and got a mortgage, a real estate license at that point, and I start to see people struggle with the crash. So it made me want to help. And then my background at the church, and I just start helping people at my church. I started helping people that call, helping family members understand what was going on. And then when I started being an underwriter, it kind of gave me a different insight, Fargo. So I just kind of had that background in the mortgage side that I was helping people in the family, at the church and things like that. And when I got to commercial, I kind of got a different platform because, you know, only 1% of bankers in the United States are people of color in the commercial right. side. So as mm-hmm. a commercial underwriter, I was able to really show people a different side of commercial banking and explain to them what business banking is, because in our communities, we still think of it as a mortgage and it's not the same. So a lot of people mm-hmm. say, I got my debt to income ratio. I was like, oh, we don't check that in commercial. Like we're looking for cash flow and leverage and things of that nature and business tax returns and, you know, profit and losses and balance sheets. They're not looking for your taxes.
And they're probably like, what's that?
And then nobody knew what it was.
Right.
It was my sort of like my mission mm-hmm. to help my people understand this, because if we can really understand this and then we can grow. And then I had took a particular interest in churches and was able to help write some of the credit policy for several banks for how to lend to churches, because churches are considered high risk. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's kind of my background. I just started helping people just because it's my nature, I think. But mm-hmm. most of all, it was because, you know, God just kept putting me in positions to help. And so I never think my job or any of that stuff is like for me. I think it's for right. me to help others. And right. so, you know how I am. You're one of my clients and you know that I'm going to call you and be like, look, this I right. And I think we need that in our communities.
We do, big time. And that's what I was going to say. That's what I love about you, because you have so much knowledge in this finance world, especially when it comes to commercial real estate financing, and just financing in general. But you, when you talk about it, you make it seem so fun. It's like, wait a second, are you sure you know what you're talking about? But it's like, I know what I'm talking about. I'm in commercial banking, but I'm not uptight. That's why we just clicked, because I love your personality. Uh-huh. Because I'm like that too. I'm like, people feel like, you know, they're like, oh man, you're so friendly and nice. I'm like, I'm a bubble. But it's like, I don't want to take myself so serious, man. I want to have fun in life. I want to enjoy life. I want to work hard, but I also want to play hard. So, and that's the same vibe I get from you. So,
aw, thank you. That's so sweet. I'm actually laughing because this morning, you know, I teach entrepreneurship, and this morning it was so funny. Mm-hmm. One of my students said, Miss April, I'm just not getting what the executive summary is. And she was like so confused on what the executive summary is. And I was like, well, you ever been in the club and you see that really fine guy?
I wanted to break it down.
And he's together and you're just like, yo, I need to find out more. And that's mm-hmm. what your executive summary is. It is the well put together version of your business plan. It should tell everything about your business plan, but they got to see that packages together first, honey. You want to make sure that package together, mm-hmm. you know, sloppy packages. And so she said, oh my God, it makes so much sense now. And so I do like to put things in terms where, you know, you can understand and it's funny, because mm-hmm. it kind of sticks with you and it's funny, right?
Right. And I like that because you make it relatable. Like you're saying, think about that guy in the club. Every girl can visualize that. You know, that guy in the club, mm-hmm. I want to know more information about him. Let me put it together. So I love that example. I love your IG handle, Banker Bay. And what's the idea behind it?
So Banker Bay actually came from my coworker, my former coworker, Ursula Smith. And it's kind of funny because me and Ursula have actually come full circle now, because I'm the president board for her dance company that she has here, for Smith Dance, and she teaches young girls how to from inner city girls how to dance, like ballet and tap and African. Mm-hmm. She does an amazing job. But Ursula used to be in customer service at the bank I worked for, and of course I was upstairs and they were downstairs, but I would always go downstairs and like have lunch with them, because of course I'm the only one that looked like me that was upstairs. Mm-hmm. And that's on two levels, female and a woman of color. So I would go downstairs with everybody else and have lunch in their break room, and they used to do this thing where we were rap, so we would pretend like we were rapping. And so she called me Banker Bay one day. And so I kept saying Banker Bay like that. And we just thought it was funny. And so when I created my Instagram, I was like, you know what? I'm going to call myself Banker Bay. And it was like totally just a joke. But I started realizing people liked it. And I had people like that don't know my real name. They call me Banker Bay.
Right.
People will say, oh, you know, April Banker Bay. And I'm like, y'all really like that, huh? So, you know. It used
that
to
is true.
Up with us rapping on Facebook Live in the break room. I used to try to think I could rap.
And that is true, because I remember when we met at the leadership conference, I was talking to you, and then one of my friends came to me and she was like, that's Banker Bay. I was like, who is Banker Bay? I was like, she just thought her name was April. So you're right. They don't know your real name. They just know you by Banker Bay.
The funny part about the way we met, I always think that is like so hilarious because I had never seen your show and you had never seen my IG. And right. So when we came up, my friend was like, "That's the girl from the show." And I'm like, "What show?" You know? And you were like, "Who's Biker Bay?" And we were like, "Okay." And then we just, so me and you clicked out of everybody there. Like, right. Have become like some of the best of friends. And I think that is like so funny because our friends were. We didn't even know. Like, I think that's like the cool thing about our relationship because I was like, you were like, "Yeah, the show," and I'm like, "I never seen the show. No, like, I never seen it."
It was so funny. You was like, "Why she said she don't hit your husband with the umbrella?"
It's like, "I've known you for 20 minutes and I'm about ready to fight for you." I'm like, we're sitting in the hotel lobby and this lady's like, "Tell your husband I got a bat for him." I'm like, "Hey, what's your husband do on the show? Let me go watch this show."
That was so funny. You was like, "Girl, and I'm ready for her too." So
you looked up and you said, "You want to kill my husband?"
Like, "No, leave me. I got 3 kids. Don't take them out."
Yeah, it was like the most hilarious thing because I didn't even know what was happening because I seen the lady staring at us and I'm like, "Lord, we finna have to fight."
Look, we got too much to lose to fight. We can't be fine, girl.
No, but I'm saying, like, they were literally legit staring at you, Leticia. Like, they were staring at us, and I didn't know the extent of the show because I just heard it from the show. So I'm like, was it a one-day show? I didn't know what the show was at the time. And so I just see these people staring at where we're sitting at, and I'm like, are they going to jump on us? Like, I didn't know what was happening. And then she came up talking about that.
Like, who is this chick and why are these people after her?
Yeah, like, why are they, what did you do? That was funny.
We always have fun together.
So I think people don't see that side of us too, because we always have fun together. I'm never fighting in real life. It's just, I don't have fun always.
You should just be talking. But no, we're always laughing. And that's the benefit of it. I'm like, man, we're like at the top of our game. And we know how to enjoy life while you're there. Like, don't be so uptight, man. That's my whole thing. I'm like, I just, listen, if it take me out tomorrow, I just want people to be like, man, at least she enjoyed life. So hey,
we're axe throwing and running down.
I know.
So we are having fun. And I think, like, that's what a lot of people miss about life. And I think that's what a lot of people miss about money, too, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody wants the money. And then when you get the money, you don't really know how to enjoy the money. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, we talk about, me, you, Kenesha, all, you know, all our little circle. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people get into these moods and they get into these modes that they have to work, but they really don't know how to enjoy themselves. And so they miss out on so much with their kids. And it's hard being a mom and working and being a boss and
asking
for stuff all the time. And so I know we all go through that. And so it's people don't understand that your network, like, we encourage each other. And I think that's the part that people don't. We don't do the same things. Like, and I hear people say all the time, "Well, you both have degrees in finance." I don't. So?
Right. We're still on two different sides of the world.
We're on two different sides of it.
But we still work together and we talk together and we combine our knowledge and our information together. And that's what you need in your life. Like, people need more people around them where you guys are encouraging each other and you're, you know, we're growing together. It's not a competition. It was like, girl, hey, let's all win together. So that's why
people say that, like, y'all do the same. No, we don't do the same thing, and we spend more time actually collaborating and talking about our ideas and how do you think I can accomplish this and how do you accomplish that. We spend more time actually doing that than anything. But I think that's where a lot of women get it wrong. Like, you should find somebody who understands the other side. You should find somebody who knows what it's like to have 3 kids and try to run businesses. So when you're down, that person can encourage you to keep going. When you're feeling like it ain't another turn on the table, you're like, "Nah, man, that table's gonna keep turning and you're gonna be sitting at the head of the table in a minute. Just chill out, just relax." Like, you need your homegirls. You need your homegirl to say, "You know what? It's just been some spirits around here. Let's just get away, go out of town, even if it's for one day. Let's just get away, go do something crazy. We don't have to be a mom right now. We can put our little tight things on and things are fine. Let's go be ourselves," because people lose themselves in business. And being a business banker, I see it all the time. I have clients that call me at 11 o'clock at night and I'm like, "Look, let me tell you something.
Girl, my phone is off.
We ain't cool like that. We ain't cool. Like, I don't want to talk to you at 11 o'clock. But you can call me in the morning, we can talk. And so I think, and it depends on the client too. But right. I just think like that's where we lose it. We lose it in that space. And as a mom, and I know this is the Mommy Business Podcast, so I keep going back to that. You know, I'm going through different things every day. I have we both have teenagers now, right? We're trying to figure out the teenage dynamic. I'm trying to figure out the toddler girl, you know, the little girls going from different toddler stages. To little girls, the little stages of it. Yeah. And so I think like a lot of moms, we lose it because we think we can't have all, and it's not about having it all, it's about balancing it all.
It's about balancing it in different stages, you know, in different stages too. So okay, given the current economy and the financial situation that most families, small businesses, and major corporations have found themselves in, what advice do you have for entrepreneurs and even financially for people to come out on the other side of this pandemic in a good place? And do you think that's even possible?
Oh, yeah. But like this pandemic is really telling you who you are. See, most of us are saying things like, if I only had more time, you ain't got nothing but time now.
Right.
So if you hadn't even started writing that book, guess what? You really didn't have a passion for writing that book. If you hadn't started doing what you said you were going to do, you really didn't have a passion for it. This pandemic is going to show you who's a beast and who's not. Because what's going to happen is if you really is about, look, I'm about to get ghetto with you, girl. I'm about to take you that life. I'm about to take you to the hood. But no, this pandemic is going to tell you that if you really had that beast in you that you thought you had to start that business, you would have did it. You would have been researching. You would have been trying to say, you know what? I'm in the house anyway, right? And you would have been trying to find ways of making money. Like I just did a series called Pivot by Zilla Fluker. And I was telling Zilla, like, you know, I'm the only person at my bank that has young kids. Nobody else has young kids at my bank. Most of them are older because, you know, in banking, especially in back office, those are usually men. Right. So their wives take care of the kids or they're older women and their kids are mostly grown. Right. And with me having young kids, the bank said, hey, I need you to be off work, you know, because I would be the only one that they had working from home. And people were complaining. So they made me come to work. I mean, they made me get off work. And during that time, I realized, okay, I have, and even though I'm still getting paid, but I thought that it was a point where I needed to really explore what I wanted to do. And so that's when I started calling you guys like, hey, look, I want to teach. I know I can teach QuickBooks classes. I know I can teach this. Called the university. Hey, I can teach these classes. Called, you know, other people and really start putting out what I wanted to do. Because I said I wanted to teach more. I wanted to lend my voice more. And that's what I did. Right. And I was able to get paid from doing it. So I think that when you find your passion is, the money will come to you and you'll be able to discover what you actually want to do, right? Because we don't run out, baby, we run it up. We run it up. And I think that if you real passionate about it and you really want to do it right now, you're setting your platform. You're saying, okay, look, let me set my foundation for what I want to do. Because when this open up, it's going live. You want to sell clothes, you should have had a Shopify store right now because everybody at home looking for something to look at. You should have had it done and you could have been on your way. If you are at home right now and you said you wanted to do whatever you wanted to do, all your research should be done. You should be calling folks because folks is at home. This is the best time to reach anybody because people are working from home. Right. And it gives them more time. But also you have to realize working from home, there's no off schedule. Right. It's not a 5 p.m. I'm going to go home. So you have to also have that balance and learn how to turn it off being from home. So, yes, you can come out of this pandemic. I think God needed to set us down and see who was for real. I think this is not just what, you know, I don't take it as a loss at all. I think this is like God, I've been praying for more time. You got time. I've been praying saying I can cook more. You got time to cook. I've been praying saying I need to start my YouTube channel. You ain't got nothing but time to create content. You got a cell phone and content, baby. Sprint ain't even cutting you off this month.
Amen, sister.
I'm just telling you, they like, I ain't even going to cut you off this month. What you finna do? What you finna record? What you finna put out
there?
Get to it.
In a recent post you wrote, dear son, I talk about money, not made of it. I love it. What's the best advice you can give to show our parents how to teach the kids about, you know, financial wealth and just about money in general?
Be real with them.
Okay.
I think
don't downplay it.
No, because a lot of us do downplay it, right? Mm-hmm. My mom did. My mom never told me we were broke. I remember one time we were eating eggs and hamburger meat for breakfast, and she told me that's what they do in France. And I believed it. I was like, for real? Girl, we having burgers with eggs on them.
Well, she was creative with it, girl.
My mom made our clothes, and she was like, oh, well, that's because, you know, you kind of built different. Because I had boobs in second grade. Oh. And so my mom, I'm for real, I did. And so when I was in high school, we really couldn't afford the real pretty maxi dresses. Mm-hmm. So what my mom would do, she would take me to the clothing store. Yeah, she used to make our dresses, and I never thought it was bad. And people used to always say, where'd you get your clothes from? I'd be like, Sharia's. Because my mom's real name is Sharia. And I'd be like, Sharia's.
Oh, and, yeah. Oh,
but my mom is that talented. She, my mom worked at making blue jeans to get us through school. So my mom can sew. And my mom was like a vice principal working at McDonald's that made blue jeans, work her butt off.
Wow.
And so I give her props for being who she is. And that's probably where I get a lot of my work ethic from. Like, mm-hmm. I'm always doing something because she's always doing something. And now she's making masks. She's doing all this different stuff. But mm-hmm. I say that because we're just not honest. If she would have just said I didn't have it, but she wanted to make sure we had. And I think a lot of times we live vicariously through our kids. In my book, in my first book, 52 Weeks, I talk about how Amari wanted I wanted Amari to have Jordans because I was young when I had him. I was super young. Mm-hmm. And, I wanted him to know he was just as good as anybody that had a dad that was married or whatever, because my brothers were married and my mm-hmm. sister was married and I wasn't. And that's just real life, right? So I wanted him to know that he was just as good as all my nieces and nephews. And so I wanted to make sure he had all the Jordans. And girl, he used to be so fly. And I could barely eat, but I was out there trying to buy him Jordans. And I remember one day my grandma said, he gonna kick that shoe off and you gonna have a fit. And I got mad at my grandma. I was like, you're not going to say he's going to kick my shoe off because he know better. He rocking jade. I'm talking to my grandma like that. And right before I picked my glasses up off the ground, I remember
the glasses off.
I remember thinking, like, maybe I'm doing something dumb. Maybe she has experience in doing something dumb. But it was too late. I had already talked trash. But I remember going to buy him these green Jordans. Everybody wanted the green Jordans. I was in line to get my baby some green Jordans, and he see the Spider-Man shoes across the hallway. And he wanted those Spider-Man shoes. And I was like, you cannot have Spider-Man shoes. You're wearing Jordans. And he just fell out in the mall. And I was so embarrassed. But it was because I was living through him. My insecurities were masked in him. So a lot of time parents, we put our insecurities in our kids when it comes to financially, we put our insecurities into our kids instead of just telling them the truth. Look, mama don't have the money to buy that right now, or mama can't do that right now. We go out, we obtain debt, and we do all these different things. So the best thing we can do to our kids is be honest. And that was all cute buying him $35 Jordans when he was 1 and 2. Now mm-hmm. he's 15. Buying size 12 Jordans ain't fun.
$250.
Yeah.
And I believe that because the kids, they're smarter than what they're smarter than we give them credit for. So mm-hmm. it's okay to explain to them, listen, we can't get this right now. Yep. I know I tell my little 2-year-old, mommy, can I get this? No. Wow, we don't have the money. I said, it's not that we don't have the money. We don't need that purchase right now. It's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. So I talk to her, like I'm talking to my girlfriends, because they understand it.
And I've learned that now because me and Amaya talk like that. You know, like I told you, she asked her where she went for her birthday. She said she wanted $100. But my daughter speaks in $100,000. So it's so funny. She was like, girl, that ain't going to cost us nothing but $100,000. And I'd be like, girl, if you don't stop, you know, I can't wait till we go spend this $100,000. I don't know where she gets $100,000 from. But you have to have that approach. You know, like I even talk to Mari and I say things like, you got to stay strapped up. And he'll think I'm talking about something else. He'd be like, you sound nasty. But the reality is I'm talking about you got to keep your credit straight. You got to keep your credit. You got to keep that credit ready, baby.
Right.
And, you know, just like anything else, because you never know when you're going to need it. And you don't want to go into any situation not ready. And you got to stay strapped. I want him to stay strapped and loaded. You need to make sure you can protect yourself in any situation. So you need to make sure your credit is good. Make sure you have low balances if you ever have an emergency situation, and mm-hmm. you need to make sure you save your money, and you need to put money into saving. Because one thing I don't want you to do is not to be financially well with no excuse, because now we got 20-year-olds financing hair. I seen on the site the other day, you can pay your hair off in 4 payments. No, they don't need that hair. You know,
right. Like, if you can't afford to pay for it, you don't need it. And no, you don't go into your savings account to get it. If you don't have you don't need it. Yeah. Girl, I'm trying to tell, look, I talked to my cousins and my brothers about that too. But
hello, mommy bosses. I know that you're ready to draw out the blueprint to your life. Visit the website, LaTeishaScott.com, and order your mug and your journal today. We need to be reminded every single day that this journey is my life, my blueprint. I get to draw out the blueprint to the life I want to create with God at the center. Order your mug, my life, my blueprint, and order your journal, the blueprint, so you can have your coffee ready, your pen ready, and you're writing down your ideas as you sip on your coffee or tea. Visit the website, LaTeishaScott.com.
So, April, you have not one, but 2 books. What can the readers expect from your books?
So 52 Weeks is a guide, right? 52 Weeks was my first book, and it's a guide to like falling in love with money. It's really funny. We talk about financial threesomes, falling having your credit and your money all mixed together, and jumping in bed with your cash and your credit. So that's your financial threesome. We talk about the credit report as you're going to check me, boo, and all that kind of stuff. So it's really cute because, you know, it kind of gives you a different look. It relates it to dating. You know, your credit report's like that nosy person's going to tell all your business. So you got to make sure you keep everything clean, because soon as somebody asks, and that credit card is like that dude you meet, you know what I'm saying? He there for you. Y'all going shopping. Y'all doing y'all thing. But as soon as you can't give him what you want, guess what he do? He starts telling everybody about you. So that's kind of how 2 weeks is written. And it's going on a speed dates with investment bankers and learning the different types of investments. That's really cute. A lot of people like 52 Weeks just because of the language. You know, we try to relate it back to dating. Recovering from financial heartbreak is more about losing a job, going through divorce, and all these things that happen in life, like, you know, when you should file bankruptcy, how do you recover from all these things? Like, and the chapters are still cute. They still have the same kind of fun, you know, rhetoric in the book, you know, but it's a little bit more serious of a topic. And how do you recover? Like, what are we doing to check it? And we got chapters like, woo, child. And, you know, and things like that. Oh, woo, chile, as they say on TikTok. But woo, child, and things like that. And so in recovering from financial heartbreak, it just really kind of breaks down, like, things that you should be looking for as you recover. Like, what can you do right now? Like, calling the creditors, paying the direct creditor instead of paying the collections company to get that mess off your credit. You know, like, things like that. You always want to make sure that you're doing, so that way you can kind of, you know, fix that thing up a little bit. So that's kind of how that works. And then my new book, yay, hopefully soon will be coming out with Bad Bougie Not Broke. So
wait, there you go. You get ahead of me, girl. No, I'm just playing out. That's okay. You can keep going. Just tell our listeners a little bit about the creation of the Bad Bougie and Not Broke, and also the book that you have coming out about it, and also the events that's going to be surrounding it. And
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got ahead of you. I'm sorry. I was talking about the books, but okay. So Bad Bougie Not Broke is our thing, right? It's me, LaTeisha Scott, from the Mommy Business Podcast. So I got a group of my friends who are balling, y'all. Like, it ain't even me. Like, I'm telling you, the lineup of Bad Bougie Not Broke will have you like, dang, girl, I need to be there. 3 women balling. And so I want to introduce people to my circle, because it's hard, right? It's hard to like to stay in business. It's hard to maintain business. So you got to surround yourself with the right people that are in business. Now, my cousin Kanisha is a beast when it comes to business. She has shampoo lines. She's chemist.
She's doing her thing.
Yeah, she's a medical doctor that's the chemist that has degrees in psychology. She wrote books about sex and life after. You know, it's like crazy. Like, she's a beast. And you have to keep up with these people. So on the tour, it's a tour that we're going to do for HBCUs. And on this tour is, of course, my friend LaTeisha. She's a real estate boss, real estate developer. She has properties, y'all. Look, Let me tell you, get you a friend with a couple of rental properties just in case you ever need somewhere to lay down there.
Okay? You have them too. You have them too.
Get you a friend that can help you get your rental properties together, because friends, they have friends that teach them how to buy properties.
That's right.
Friends. Real friends create passive income for each other, okay?
Yes, so, say that again.
Yes, real friends, we create passive income for each other, and we understand the importance of having rental properties and having other streams of income, because whether right. me and my boo get wake up in the morning, y'all, we still gonna get paid on the first, so we Gucci. And man. So we want to make sure that everybody else is Gucci and understands that, right? Because it's gonna be, the Bible says you're gonna have your have and have not, so everybody mm-hmm. might buy a home. Everybody don't want to buy a home.
Right.
But if they are gonna buy it, at least be a landlord that you know is reputable and things like that. And so, and that's the kind of people we are. And so who better to do this than us? So mm-hmm. I got my friend on the tour, my boss friend who's out here. She got a child. She doing whole shopping centers, honey. She way past me. I look for bedroom, baby. But you know, I got my friend right here who's out here doing the darn thing.
So funny.
I got my cousin Kanisha, Dr. Kanisha Hall, who, like I said, Kanisha has a book at the Life After Sex. That talks about, you know, life after. It's a really good book. It really helped me a lot in my life. And so that's a really good book. And also, she has a shampoo line. She has real estate properties. So let me just tell y'all a secret real quick. All my friends have properties. We don't, you know, if you only have two, we'd be like, baby, what you doing? You only got two houses? Like, we bougie.
You have three or four, but you got one of them.
Yeah, baby, we be looking at you like, honey, what you doing? And that's because we want each other to win. Like, I've never, like, my friends, we are like winners. Like, we don't even, all this other stuff. I know people see stuff on TV. That stuff ain't even real life, babe, because we talk about winning. We talk about how we finna get this bread. We talk about what we finna do next. We sit up, we have drink. When you and your friends sit on the phone and drink together, that was right. We sit up and talk about what we finna do next and be excited. Yesterday, perfect example. Yesterday, we were like, how we get this tea? Everybody was texting. We support everybody just ordering from each other. We are on it. And so I think that is what I would encourage every mom on here. Get you some mom friends. Get you some mom friends that want it. That want it. It ain't about no man. It ain't about what nobody else doing, even though, you know.
She got her boo.
My boo. But, but get you some mom friends who understand what it's like to be a mom. Mm-hmm. Understand what it's like to want to be financially free for your children. And, girl, we done got all off the subject of the tour.
Mm-hmm. I was going to bring you back around.
But the tour is all about, because I get so excited talking to you. You know, this is what we do. This is how we actually really talk, y'all. So
on the phone. That's why we're on the phone.
This is how we talk on the phone. This is how we talk on the phone. But back to what we were actually talking about, the tour, and we have Vanessa Petway. She's my spiritual lady, because I cuss, and God is still working on me. So Vanessa talks about manifesting your money, and she speaks to God about your money. So she's amazing. And anybody that can talk to God and stir up that in you, you need those type of people on your team. So that's the tour, Bad Bougie Not Broke. And it got canceled this year because of the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to pick that back up in the fall. That's what the goal is, and that's what we're praying for. But the cool thing about this thing is that I took my portion of the tour and I wrote a book about it. And a lot of people were asking for, well, hey, how can we get the book? How can we get the book? And I'm waiting on my friend Letitia and Kanisha and Vanessa to write their forwards for the book so I can get the book to y'all. But we still wait.
I'm going
to
do that.
And so, but hopefully by July, we'll have the book out. So Bad Bougie Not Broke is the next book. And I'm so excited because this is like a full vision, y'all. We talked about this like last year.
Right.
And so it just came so full vision. And it's awesome. Like, so I'm telling y'all, like, we talk about money a lot. But if you get the right friends on your team, money will come. Because the blessings is flow. That's like energy, right? We give each other that energy. Hey, you know what? We're going to change our energy. Hold on a second.
I'm going to tell you people what you've done.
Okay, go on.
That's mommy business.
Okay. It's okay. All right. Appreciate you. Shut the door real good. Appreciate you. Sorry.
Hey, that's mommy business right there. They walk in and he's, they don't care what you're doing.
He don't care. He's like, oh, sorry, mama. I just got excited. Somebody left their water gun over here yesterday. He's like, hold on, mama, I got excited. Sorry. But that's mommy business. And that's how we understand each other, right? We understand each other because we've been on the phone. And Macy comes in the room and talks to you. Austin talks to me. Maya, Mila, Mari.
MJ. Okay, you've been in the middle of a business deal. You still, wait one second, let me take care of my kids. And then you come back to it. That's life. And that's our life. So it don't stop the show. So.
Never. The show don't stop.
Let me, hey, but there's some great free online financial resources that you provide on your website, bankerbay.com. Tell us a little bit more about those.
So on bankerbay.com, we do have some resources there. We have what we call the debt snowball worksheet, where you can go on and it'll help you pay off your debt. I really like the debt snowball worksheet. It really got me out of credit card debt. So that's why I recommend it to other people. Because, child, I was buying, honey. I have a little girl. And you know, when you have these little girls, you can feel like they're supposed to have everything.
Everything.
They supposed to have it, honey. You're supposed to have matching shirts and dresses and shoes and everything. So I had me and Amaya walking around here looking like the double mint twins while paying.
Mommy and me?
Child. While paying 15% interest in debt. And I was going in debt behind it. And so what I had to do, I went and I created this debt snowball. It's a thing I learned at a financial conference I went to, and I created a worksheet where you pay off one debt and you take that payment and you're just chunking toward this one. You're paying minimum on the other. But then you take whatever you were chunking on that one, you take it to the next one and you're chunking. So you're paying the regular payment that you would normally pay plus what you were paying on the debt before. And it kind of just becomes a snowball and you pay everything off fast because, like I told you guys, we are into deeds and title, not debts. Deeds, not debts, baby. That's what we're into.
Deeds and titles, not debts.
Deeds and titles, not debt. And so that was one of the worksheets. And then we have a family budget worksheet on there. And then we have what we call a personal financial statement that's on there, PFS. I call it a financial mirror because that PFS is going to tell you what you really worth. Because a lot of people walking around here balling and you're like, oh, they got a big house. Oh, they got a nice car. But you don't understand that they don't have no equity in their home.
Right.
They don't own that car. The finance company does. And so now you're looking at it like, dang, they really don't have any tangible assets to do anything. They have a lot of debt. So that PFS will tell you who you really are. If you have life insurance, if you have, you know, things that make you financially fit. And so that's what I just call the financial mirror, because it's going to tell you who you are. And you may not even like who you think you are. You're going to find out if you have that emergency fund saved. You're going to find out if you have a rainy day fund sitting in there. You're going to figure out who you are financially. And some of us don't want to do that because if you know why people don't want to admit they're broke, because broke things are supposed to be fixed. So a lot of people don't want to admit to being broken because they don't want to fix it because they love living that I call it hood rich lifestyle. They, you know, the gator belt and the gator shoes with no gas in your ride. You know, you ain't
got no job, but I stay fly.
Hey, can't pay my bills, all my money. Okay, I'm just playing. But yes, so it's a lifestyle. So some people enjoy that lifestyle. And if that's who you are, just admit to who you are.
Right. Own it.
Own who you are.
Yes.
So those resources are there on my, and also a credit card payoff calculator is on there too. If I put an extra $100 a month at this interest rate, how long would it actually really take me to pay off this credit card? And that's a good help to a lot of people too, because they're like, okay, I really need to pay off this debt, but I just don't know. I feel like it's not going anywhere. So if you put it in that payment calculator, it'll kind of give you, you know, an average of what you're actually going to be paying off. And it helps you understand your credit just a little bit better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, not like that. And all this is free. So you guys don't have to pay for it. Just go to the website and play around with it and put all your information in there. So you founded the Wealthy Women Savings Club. What's the next direction for that group and how can our listeners be a part of it?
Well, Wealthy Women Say, I've really been slacking on that. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I've been slacking a little bit on the Wealthy Women Savings Club. But we do have some big things coming in the future. So we're gonna change the direction of the Wealthy Women Savings Club. Before, it used to be where people could come in and ask me questions, but now that I have Banker Bay people are asking questions there. The Wealthy Women's Savings Club started as a group that was created for people to ask me questions because people had so many questions. And a lot of people don't like to put their business out on public Facebook.
Right.
It was a way for me to kind of help a lot of people at one time, a target audience. And so these women, they paid, this was like 5 years ago, something like that. This was a while back. And they paid money to be a part of this group. And like, we've had women buy houses. We've had women get investment real estate from this group, investments in the stock market. I give not really stock tips, but I just tell you what's popping right now. Like, if you buy, if you're interested in this, go research this, kind of give them directions, because I'm not a broker and I don't give stock tips to people who aren't my friends. No, I'm just joking. But I don't really tell people. No, I'm playing. I don't really tell people like what stock to buy and stuff like that. That's not my angle. I'm not that type of banker. I'm not an investment banker, but in that group, I tell you like things that are trending, things that are moving forward and things that you should research. Like, I'm really big into the cannabis stock right now. It makes a lot of money. It's up 700%. So that's kind of some information I would give in the Wealthy Women's, like, hey, these three stocks are up 700%. You know, you can still get them pretty cheap, ooh, the woo. And, you know, so we've had women, you know, ask questions about how to invest in real estate. How does commercial lending really work? Because why do I have this in my personal name and things like that? So we've been able to answer a lot of good questions for women in that Wealthy Women's group. And I do a lot of Facebook Lives in that group so I can answer their questions. So, well, they can really just log on to the Facebook page and then they'll, you know, it's a fee to join, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, it's a wealth of information, so it's worth it.
Yeah.
So what do you have?
Everybody even says it's worth it. So
yeah. I mean, and I know. I'm calling up next in your life and in your career. What's next for Banker Bay?
You know what? I'm gonna tell y'all something I hadn't told anybody except my friend. I've been dreaming for my pastor. I shouldn't say my friend, my pastor. I just told my pastor that God has been giving me a dream that one day I'm going to own a bank. So y'all just stay tuned. I don't know what's next.
Ooh, that's exciting. I like that idea.
I just believe in God's vision and his direction, man. Like right now, you know, I'm teaching, trying just to be a good servant, and wherever he leads me, I'm going, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to help as many business owners as possible. My goal is one day to be the president of a bank and have more financial literacy in our communities. That's really what I want to do. But you know, whatever God leads me, man, I don't have no direction. I follow the lead. I let the Lord lead me, and wherever he dropped me off, I just be like, all right, thank you, Jesus. Pick me back up.
Right. It's like, I love it. Well, yeah. That's the best person to have as your head to lead you. So.
Look, he already told me I'm going to be a lender and not a borrower. So, you know, it's worked so far, right?
Walking in faith, walking in faith and doing the work. So what is the best advice you received before becoming a mom, a wife, or a business owner that you have taken along with you on this journey?
Well, my granny used to tell me this when I was a little kid, and I say this all the time, and I know you heard me say this 1,000 times. It don't hurt to try but to fail. Yes. Right? If you don't try, you're going to fail anyway. So, you know, if you fail, at least you tried, right?
And right.
So I'm not afraid of anything. Like, I think, like, just, it really, I don't know if it's the best advice, but just really being in the Word and seeing how it kind of goes to what you're talking about. Like, really, when I'm down or if I just need some encouragement, and, you know, even if I talk to my girls, I'm still kind of in, I really just get into the Word. Like, I listen to a sermon and I just, you know, I just think like God has it for us, man. I think that God is good. Like, and being a little girl from the hood, I know that there's times where I probably like, there's no way in HEW hockey sticks that I should be doing what I do today. Right. And I was talking to a group of little girls one day and I said, you know, growing up, I always thought I was going to be a D-boy's girlfriend. Like, that's who I thought I was.
A D-boy girlfriend.
Because that's the environment I come from. And that's
I can relate.
Feel.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're supposed to be. Like, that, oh, okay. Hey, you're a cute girl. You're from the hood. You're smart. okay, this is what you're going to be. And I realized it was just so much more in me that God had for me that I didn't even realize it. And a lot of this that goes on in our communities is that they don't realize who they are. And they've never had nobody tell them. They never had nobody to look up to and tell them that they could do this. You know, and I thank God for all my experiences, because now my only goal is to make sure that I'm influencing another generation. I want my daughter to be so different. I want my daughter to be like, what? You know, I want her to have that look.
The sky's the limit. I love it.
Yeah, like, what? You know, like, I do stuff my mom could never imagine.
And that's how it's supposed to be.
And you do things your mom could never imagine.
Right. You know, that is true. And you know, with this whole reality TV world and the show, and I sort of kind of, like you said, you have to know who you are. And I think for me, I got so caught up in trying to be, you know, the perfect wife and trying to be a good mom. I kind of did lose myself. And I'm like, I don't know anymore. So it's like, okay, Tisha, you have to go out here. You have to try things. But I started reading my journals, and my journals like had all these ideas and plans in them that I wrote down years ago. And on the show, when my mom told me, she was like, you don't bow down to anybody. You better remember who you are. And and she kind of reminded me, like, yeah, Tisha, like, you motherfucking Letitia Scott. Letitia Moore Scott.
Yeah.
So you forgot about it, but it's like, now you got to get yourself back together, girl. Remember all of these things you accomplished. Like, she started going down the list and saying, Tisha, you did this. You had a 12-plus apartment complex at the age of 25. You had this. You had that. Like, don't let nobody take that away from you. I used to feel like if you talk about what you have, you're bragging.
Yep.
And it's like, no, you're not bragging. You're proud of yourself.
You're proud of yourself.
I have a whole different perspective now on life.
Let me hit you with this. People that don't have nothing, all the people that think you're bragging. Because people like me that know you, and people like in our circle that know us, they know we're not bragging. We like, girl, get it. Because we know that God is blessing in our neighborhoods, right? So when you win, I win. When you win, I celebrate you, because guess what's happening? Next time you finna celebrate me, and we finna all celebrate.
And win together on a nice vacation.
I love having a boss friend, because you know I be liking to eat, child, and I be eating.
Right,
I
like to travel and go places. I need to bring my friends along with me. So
I definitely like, I got the tab. I be getting steak, y'all. When she's like, I got the tab, because she's, you know, she got
right. Love. Thank you, boo.
I'll be like, thank you.
I love talking to April. We could talk all day for hours, but definitely we're going to do more. I think we should do more series about the commercial banking world when it comes to lending and, you know, just finances, because you did say about EFS. And I'm like, a lot of people don't even know what that means. It's your personal financial statement. But, you know, you may not know that. So being that this is about mommy business, I definitely want to talk more about the importance of knowing commercial lending and knowing how to approach a banker and what all information you need to have up front when you go to the, you know, the loan officer to request money for your business. You know, no, you don't need to put your business under your financial, your personal financial credit. You need to get your business credit established. So
That's a big misconception too. Don't let these companies tell y'all there's such thing as business credit. There's no such thing. We lend based on your cash flow and your balance.
That whole business EIN number, your business social security number.
Yeah, there's no. I just said we don't have a way of pulling that. We're reading your tax returns. We're reading your business statements, and we're understanding where your money is going. Any good accountant can do that. I can tell you right now, and I've told Tisha this before, I can literally look at your business and tell you where you're bleeding. I can look at your financial statements and tell you what you're doing wrong. And the reason I can do that is because I've been trained to do that. And that's why it's important for us moms to stick together and find us a good banker that don't mind, you know, telling you the truth.
You need the real information. So, but we're going to have Banker Bay back for more questions and answers. But please share with us your social media and where we can find more about you online.
Okay, you can find me on Instagram at I Am Banker Bay. That's the one that I'm on the most. So just really find me there, or you can go to bankerbay.com.
Yeah, I love this chick. We have so much fun together. We talk business. We talk personal. We talk about everything. And I love it.
Yep.
April, thank you once again for joining the Mommy Business Podcast.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me, Leticia. I'm so happy I finally got a chance to do this.
Finally.
Yes. Y'all make this the number one episode, so she'll bring me back, child. Because
hey.
It's going to be your small episode. No, I'm joking. No, I'm so excited, Tisha. Thank you for being a friend. Like, I just want to let people know that. I know people may have different misconceptions about things about you, but if you want, right. if you want to know somebody who is a friend who's going to be down for you, you could call at 10 o'clock at night. You could call in the middle of the night. You go call in the morning who is going to ride or die with you. Like, I talk about stuff. Like, I'm the ratchet friend, but really, Tisha is the down friend that everybody should have. And so I really want to say that about you, that you are definitely that person. You are encouraging. You're loving. And like I said, and I know people try to screw things up and say because of the TV show, I didn't even know about the TV show, honey. We was just clicking. We was laughing. And I didn't even see the show until months after. She had to make me watch the show because most people know I don't watch TV. I don't watch TV except sports. And so she was like, "You watch my show yet?" And I'm like, "Okay, let's go watch the show." I was at home sick one time. Yes. I was at home sick and I went back and watched the
You had to catch up.
I had to catch up. So don't let stuff fool y'all, man. This girl right here is 100%. Like, that's my dog. Like, honest to God, I don't make new friends real easy. I'm friendly. I'm nice to everybody. But right. if you know me, like, I'm like nice, but I don't really hang around a lot of people. But me and her have clicked from day one. And I just want y'all to know that. I think there's so many misconceptions about you. You're a phenomenal mom.
Yes, it's
and,
okay.
And
thank you so much.
You know,
my goodness. She is not going to fight. She has too much to fight. Thank you, girl.
I love you. You have a blessed one.
Love you too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Mommy Business Podcast. If you received helpful tips from this episode, remember to share. We are here to encourage and motivate each other. If you have tips you would like to share with the Mommy Business Tribe, join us on Facebook. We would love to hear how you are balancing being a great mom and running a successful business. Please follow the Mommy Business Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Remember, ladies, your life, your blueprint. Let's get to building. This podcast is produced by Paradox East and powered in part by the Maitland Conservatory. Visit them at themaitlandconservatory.org.